Today we continue with lesson number 91 in our ongoing study of Mishnayos Maseches Kelim. We will be learning together the last Mishnah of Perek Chof Beis, 22nd Perek, Mishnah 10. And when we finish the 22nd Perek, we will go on today to the first Mishnah of the 23rd Perek. So it begins with Perek Chof Beis, Mishnah Yud. And the theme of this Mishnah is that there are certain kelim which are composed of two or more parts. When the keli is intact, it's a type of keli which can be used to sit upon. So it's Tomei Medris. And of course, we know already a rule, which we actually will have in Yitz Hashem in the Mishnayos and Meseches Nida Perek Vov, that kol ha-mitamei midros mitamei tamei meis. The worst you can get in terms of susceptibility to tuma is tamei midros. If an object is tamei tumas midros because it's a chair or a couch or whatever, then it is for sure mitamei tumas mes and all other lesser tumas, sheretz, etc. So the Mishnah begins with the example of ha'aslo. Aslo is a seat, in very blunt terms, it is a toilet seat, a seat which one sits upon in a beis hakisei. And in primitive times, that aslo was made of a frame of metal, iron, but protecting that frame and making it possible to sit upon it was a strip of leather. So ha'aslo, when the aslo is intact and it has upon it both the leather covering and the metal frame, tamei midras utamei meis. So it's tamei tumas medras, and also, of course, it's mekabel tumas tumas mes. Persha, however, if it is taken apart, so now the or, the leather, is no longer upon the metal, ha'or tomei midras. The or remains a seat. It's still possible to sit upon the or, and therefore it is still susceptible to tumas midras. Zav or zova, nida, who sits upon it, makes it into an avatumah. It's moishav hazav. The habarzel, but the metal frame, tomei tamei meis, is not mekabel tumas medras. It is no longer roi liyeshiva. You can no longer sit upon it. It might have other uses, so it is mekabel tuma, a lesser tuma than medras, is mekabel tuma tumas mes. Hatraskel is interesting. Rashi in Maseches Shabbos daf kuf lamed ches defines traskel in this context as a type of a folding chair. Most understand traskel from other contexts in Shas, where it means a type of a basket. But be that as it may, this traskel is a keli of some sort. Let's say it's a basket, which you turn it over and one sits upon it. It's like a low bench. And this traskel, too, is covered with leather. So the Mishnah says, Hatraskel shechipuyov shelor, a traskel whose covering is leather, tomei medris utomei meis. So it's tomei medris because it's royal yeshiva, one sits upon it, and of course also tomei meis, it's mekabel tumas meis. Perash, however, if the leather is removed from the traskel, then ha'or tomei medras, the or remains royal yeshiva. But the hatraskel, the basket itself, it would seem is too low to the ground and is no longer usable as a bench or a chair, and therefore it is tohor miklum. It is not mekabel any tumah. It's not roy for anything. The Mishnah continues, safsolin sheba merchatz. You have in the old bathhouses benches which were made of stone. And we know, a general rule, that the Kli Evan, Kli Avonim, are not Mekabel Tumah. But these particular safsolin in the bathhouse in the merchotz ushtei raglov shaleitz, the two legs which support the stone bench are wooden. So you have two blocks of wood supporting a stone bench. Tomei, then the entire bench is mekabel tuma. If a zov sits upon it, the entire safsol is tomei tumas medras, because the legs, which are wooden, are considered the ikor hasafsol. They are the main component of the bench. And the halacha is kol hamechubala tomei tomei, that whatever is attached to something which is tomei is tomei as well. So therefore, some mefarshim learn that the stone bench is also tomei. Others have a difficulty with that, because the general rule is that kli avonim are not mekabel tumah lo midivrei Torah v'lo midivrei sofra. And therefore they learn pshat here that tomei, the wooden legs, are mekabel tumah, but the stone under no circumstances is mekabel tumah. This is a discussion in the Mefarshei HaMishnah. You can look in the Tiferes Yisroel for further material on that point about the status of the bench, the stone component of the bench. But suppose you have this stone bench in the Berchatz, and it doesn't have two legs of wood, but rather achas shaleitz v'achas shaleven, one of wood, one of stone, then tohor, then it is not mekabel tumah at all, because the safsol with the stone bench with the stone leg is the ikor, because it's possible to take this stone bench and stone leg, prop it up against the wall, and it's a bench because it has a support of the wall on one side and the support of the stone leg on the other. And the other block of wood, which is serving as the other leg, this is only secondary. And therefore, the main components of the bench are the bench itself and the stone leg. And they're not mekabel tumah. The leg which is made of wood, is only mechubar to it. And the rule is, kol ha-mechubar la-tohor, tohor. So the wooden eitz, the wooden leg, is mechubar to the stone bench plus stone leg. And they are tohor, so is the wooden leg tohor. Hanisorim, the Mishnah continues, Hanisorim shebemerchatz, these planks of wood in the bathhouse, Sheshigmon. Now there are many different opinions as to what Shigmon means. We had the word back in Perek Yud Mishneh Vov, and there we saw two pshotim. One is that Shigmon means they are fit together like a jigsaw puzzle. In other words, you have two planks of wood. At the end of one plank, there are blitos, there are little protrusions, and at the end of the opposite plank of wood, there are cavities into which those protrusions fit, so you can plug them together. That's one opinion of what Shigmon means. Another opinion is that Shigmon means they are plugged up, they are connected, and the gap between them is plugged up with sha'am, shin, ayin, mem, which means cork. And then the main point being that they are tightly put together. Interestingly, the Meforshim here, the Bartanura, the Rash, the Rosh, have yet a third pshat for what Shigmon means, and that is they are shaven down with a plane, P-L-A-N-E, which flattens and smooths the surface of the wood. In any case, the Mishnah says, you have these Nisorim Shebamerchatz Shigmon. You fix them up in a certain way, whether you plug them together tightly by carving out blitos and cavities, whether they're stuffed with cork, whether they're smoothed with a plane, a sharp instrument which smooths them. Rabbi Akiva Metame. Rabbi Akiva insists these are benches. A person can sit on them, sometimes does sit on them, and therefore they are mekabel tumas medras. However, the Chachomim say no. These planks of wood are pshute kliyets. The fact that one can sometimes sit on them is of no significance, because no one sits on them regularly. They are made as a kind of a floor under which the water from the bathhouse can pass. But no one sits on them generally, unless, for whatever reason, the person doesn't want to become dirtied from the dirty water flowing under them, so he might sit upon them occasionally. But that's not its primary use, and therefore the Chachamim say that these planks of wood, Nisorim Shiva Mechat Sheshigmon, are not Mekabel Tumah at all. Then the Mishnah speaks of another sort of kli, and that is the kankilin. Kankilin is a type of a container which has holes in it and which is used to smoke begodim. They would sometimes expose clothing or cloth to smoke, either this regular smoke which was used to fumigate it, to cleanse it from lice or whatever, and sometimes they would smoke it with a fragrant incense or something so that the begodim would also have this fragrance. So now, this kaniklin is just an empty vessel in and of itself, but sometimes they are made in such a way that you can suspend the articles of clothing within the apparatus. And that's what the Mishnah first speaks about. Kankilin sheyeshbo beis kabolas ksus, a kankilin which has a place in it from which where one can store or hang or suspend clothing. Then tumeya, it's mekabel tuma, but because it has a base kibul. But v'ho asuya kikveres, if it's simply made as a round cylinder without a base kibul, but rather what one does is one lights a fire and smoke within this cylinder, and over the top of the cylinder one drapes the articles of clothing or cloth that one wants to expose to the smoke. In such a case, this kiveres, the cylinder or tube-shaped kli, has no beis kibul, and therefore the Mishnah says tahora, it is not mekabel tuma at all. And so we have completed the last Mishnah Yud of Perek Chof Beis, and now we move on to the first Mishnah of Perek Chof Gimel. This Mishnah speaks about various objects which are stuffed with other materials. And the question is, the materials, the stuffing, what status that does that have, do they have, does the stuffing have with reference to Kabbalah's Tumah? So one example of such a device is hakador, a ball made of leather, a football, which is stuffed with hair or rags or something, and the child plays with this ball. Or viho emum, emum is a form upon which a shoemaker makes a shoe. This form is also made of leather, stuffed with stuffing of hair, animal hair, or rags. V'hakameya, kameya is a little pocketbook or purse made of leather, which has within it psukim or amulets or magical charms or something of that sort, or herbs for a refuah or for a skula, and these are stuffed into a little purse of some sort, little pocket-shaped leather pouch. So again, the stuffing is one thing, and the kameya itself is a container. But tefillin, classical example. Tefillin are made of leather, but they have a stuffing, so to speak, too. Inside of them are the parshios, the scrolls upon which psukim are written. Shen nikru'u, suppose the kador, the emum, the kameya, or the tefillin become tome, and then after they become tome, they are torn. And although they're torn open, but nevertheless, they can't contain the stuffing within them. So, therefore, the kador remains tome. It's not broken just because it's been torn open, so it remains tome. And hanogeya bohem tome, the person who touches them, it can become tome too. If they're tome afat tome, he's a rishon l'tuma. However, uvameshe betochon, the person who touches the inside stuffing of this kador, the parshios of the tefillin, for example, tor, he's tor, because the contents are not considered a chibur to the container. The stuffing in the kador, in the emum, in the tefillin, are not part of the kador, emum, and tefillin. They're independent objects which happen to be enveloped by this pouch or tefillin or whatever. So therefore, they're not considered mechubar, and therefore, they are tahor. The person who touches them is tahor. Ukif shenikra, suppose you have a kind of a saddle or a blanket which is stretched over the back neck of the animal, of the donkey, for example. And this ukuf too is made of leather, and it is stuffed with rags or whatever inside of it to make it softer to sit upon and not to harm the animal, not to, the animal remains comfortable. Suppose this ukuf becomes tome, and then ukuf shednikra, then it's torn open. So in such a case, that which touches the contents, the stuffing in the ukuf, is tome. Hanogev mashebetocho tome. Why? Mipnei shehatefer mechabro. Because in the case of the ukuf, as opposed to the emum and the kador, etc., the stuffing is sewed to the inner wall of the ukuf. And therefore, it is a chibur. It's part and parcel. It's not just stuffing which happens to be found inside a container. It's stuffing which is connected to the container. And therefore, it remains tome. And so we have concluded the first Mishnah of the 23rd Perek, and in the process have concluded lesson number 91.